perfect. So earlier this week, I had the privilege of being in Dale and Joan's home for a few hours. And as I listened to them tell stories about their life and family and their encounter with God, there were a number of things that struck me. But one of the things that stood out most strongly was the faithfulness of God that that they've experienced. And Dale and Joan have lived a very full life, lots of adventure. And so there's all kinds of themes that mark their story. But for the sake of this morning, I've asked them to share about different aspects of their life in terms of how they've experienced God's faithfulness. So I'm gonna begin with Dale. And Dale, I would love for you to tell everyone the story of where and how you and Joan first met.
That's a challenge, Mark, but let's see what we can do with it. I'm not going to start with I was born at an early age, so let's... I spent my first 18 years on a large dairy farm where the key word was work, 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 and I don't think it hurt me, quite honestly. But when we got to the age 18, it came time to go to university. Well, being on an agricultural bent, I took an agricultural degree, and I tell you only for information at this point, and completed a degree, enjoyed university. It was a lot less work than the dairy farm. But we finished a degree as a loner. I was hired by the provincial Department of Agriculture, worked out of Victoria as the head of what's called Dairy Herd Improvement Association. Now I tell you that because my job was to inspect farms, dairy farms, and to help the farmers achieve better results, more milk equals more dollars. So. Yeah. But the interesting thing was I spent the evenings at the farms all over Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands. And those evenings were fascinating because I got to meet with the farmer and his wife and discuss the possibilities for their particular farm and help them set up a set of books and all that sort of thing. Now, I tell you this because I got to observe a lot of family interaction at the end of a heavy work day. And it fascinated me to observe what was going on between the various members of the family, especially husband and wife. Now, the interesting thing about that is I had an idea of what my wife was going to be like. I could see the industrious, the cuteness, and yes, and all of that in my mind too, and I was forming a mindset on who I was going to marry. Now, the interesting thing there is that I got involved somehow in prophecy, and we'll discuss that sometime, Mark. But somehow it came into my head it was going to be a lot simpler than I thought to find the wife because her name was going to be Joan. That was embedded in my mind. So I just went about looking for Joan. Saved a lot of time, folks. And what happened was Joan and I separately landed up at a wedding in Port Alberni of mutual friends. And during the evening, Loner Dale was one of the wallflowers, you know the whole deal. And what happened was, at the end of the wedding, which happened to be in the same... Anybody been to the Barclay Hotel in Port Alberni? Okay, that's... Glad I don't own it. But... What happened was, at the time the bride goes up and invites all of the unwed girls in the in the group to come up and he throws, you've been there, done it.
Throw the bouquet.
Throw the bouquet.
Sure.
That's the term I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And what happened was Joan was not particularly outgoing and wanting to go up, but the bride said, and you too, Joan. And you can guess the rest of it. I introduced myself to Joan. 6 months later, we were married.
And I asked Dale specifically, I said, when you made your introduction, did you say to this young woman, God told me that you were going to be my wife? But Dale had the wisdom to keep that to himself for some time.
Some things are private.
Yeah, some things are private. So today is a very special day. We talked about this when I was at your home. So today is a special day for the two of you. Can you tell everyone what today is?
It's an anniversary. Yes, it's an anniversary.
Yeah, it's their wedding anniversary today.
Number 54.
54 years of marriage. Incredible. And and for those of you who know the wider Lundstrom family who are a part of their church, just next weekend, their daughter or granddaughter is getting married. And so it's a very exciting time thinking about both your marriage and this upcoming marriage in the Lundstrom family. So here's a question for the two of you. So Dale, you had already mentioned that you had in mind the woman you were going to marry or what she would be like. I think when people think about marriage before they're married, they kind of have an idea of what marriage will be like. So what do the two of you know about marriage today that maybe you didn't know 54 years ago?
Well, Mark, you've chosen as the topic faithfulness, which gives us a mindset, doesn't it?
Yes.
But, you know, as I was pondering that, I came to realize that sometimes you can predict faithfulness and control faithfulness, but most of the time you see it in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Faithfulness is recognized for what it is. God is there, no matter if you realize it or not.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And so the two of you have loved one another faithfully for 54 years. And what are some of the things that the two of you have practiced that have allowed you, your marriage, to thrive and deepen over these last 54 years?
Do you want me to do that? By the way, adjustment period right now with my Parkinson's and Joan's Alzheimer's, let's call it what it is, presents challenges, but it also causes us to look back and in response to your question, what happens is that more and more you recognize that God is part of your very being. And that builds. And I think we're at the point now where, well, we've been there for a while, but we're at the point where we know what the other is thinking before any words are said. In our wedding ceremony, and in many of yours, you know, and the two become one flesh. I'd like to add to that this morning, with permission. And the two shall also become of one mind. Mm. And the central aspect of our being right now is being of one mind, and hopefully that is under God's guidance, mm-hmm. and we firmly believe it is. It grows, folks. It doesn't, when my granddaughter is married next weekend, our granddaughter, excuse me, it's going to be very evident. That's the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say this is the end, but it's true. Marriage is growth. And one of the greatest aspects of what I have reviewed over the years is Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. I challenge you to go home and, in a personal vein, look at 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. It fits a good marriage, folks.
One of the things that we talked about is over the course of your marriage, just the conscious decisions you made to sacrifice for the sake of the other, to serve the other, to listen well to the other. I think, Dale, you and I chatted about the fact that maybe when I was first married, when you were first married, maybe you weren't as sensitive as you could have been. But all of those things grow as we learn to love one another in marriage. Let's shift the conversation a little bit and talk about your family. So the time came where the two of you who were married decided we'd like to start having children. But God put your particular family together in a unique way. Can you tell us a little bit of the story?
Yes, I guess 3 years into our marriage and appointments with gynecologists and other doctors, it was pointed out we weren't going to have children. So we made the decision, let's adopt. And look at the screen behind me here.
Yes.
And you'll see two things. First of all, Reed, whom you know as head usher, changed a bit, but no facial hair there. But and then Chris, the one right at the back, he'll be here next weekend for the wedding there in Edmonton. And Matthew, the middle one, who fixes many of your cars, became our family. The two boys were adopted. What do we call these? Social adoption through the government processes. And the interesting thing about the requests from both families who are giving up their newborns was that the newborns must go to a Christian family. And that shortened our waiting times considerably. The third boy, Matthew in the middle, was Joan's 9-month flu. Surprise! <you know? laughs> And so that formed our family, and we're pretty proud of them.
Yeah. One of the things that we talked about is we talked about your kids. You said each of your boys are so different, and I think whether kids are adopted into a family or they're biological, every child is so different in terms of personality and interests and all of that. But one of the things that struck me is you said very quickly you stopped thinking about your children in terms of adopted or biological. They were just all your kids. And you told a really fun little story about the boys having to fill out some government forms. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I'll try to be short.
No, don't be. I want to hear the story.
My third second occupation was a school teacher, okay. So, but anyway, going back to times when applications for post-secondary school and census and all that sort of stuff were being filled out, and we were sitting around the table at home one day, and this came up in discussion. I said, well, guys, Chris, you're of German descent. Reed, you're of Romanian descent. Matthew, you just descended. And we don't see the difference in their lives, by the way, or treat them any differently.
Yeah.
But I says, well, being of that ethnic background, what do you put down as your ethnic background? And without a word, without a hesitation, they said, we're all Swedish.
Yeah, which is, of course, your ethnic.
Which is my heritage, yeah.
Of course. And that's the way it works in a family, especially with adoption. as most of you know, I have an adopted daughter myself, and I've always felt like adoption is a beautiful picture, not just in the natural family, but it's a beautiful picture of the way God works. I was reading, after talking with you, I went back to the scriptures earlier in the week. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eye. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." I mean, families are such a gift from God.
So appropriate, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk for a moment about faith. Now, the two of you have known Jesus your whole lives, pretty much, and you've done all that you can to walk with God. I wonder, Joan and Dale, what do you know about God now, or what do you appreciate about relationship with God now that maybe you didn't when you first began to follow him? How has your faith grown?
Oh, I guess I'm supposed to answer this. Well, you have many opportunities for it to grow. That's one thing. And you look back on those and you just are so thankful that God was in your life so you could have those experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Joan,
that's great, Joan.
The things you say will always be mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the question again, Mark, precisely?
So as you've spent decades following Jesus, so what do you know about God today that maybe you didn't fully appreciate when you were younger? Or how has the way you relate to God now changed over the way you once did?
Yeah, an excellent question, which is a way of saying I got to think. Mm-hmm. For a long time, I was raised in a Lutheran tradition. And for a long time, God was out there. And more, we recognized God is in here. We call it the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it becomes part of your very being.
Yeah.
And when you have God as your being, you act with God guiding. Mm. And hopefully we've done that most of the time. There have been times when God is forgotten until later, and I think I mentioned that earlier.
One of the things that you shared with me earlier this week, Dale, is just that, I mean, again, you've spent much of your career, so has Joan, as a teacher, and so you learn things, you communicate things, but there's a difference between knowing about something and knowing someone. And one of the things that I appreciated is you talked about all of the things you learned and you grew in your knowledge of God, but in these latest years, you've come to know him as Father, as the one who's close.
Daddy.
Yeah. That's right. That was the term you use. And I think that's the journey that God has for all of us. Naturally, when we read the scriptures, there's things for us to learn about God. Who is he? What is he like? What has he done? But ultimately, all of that knowledge is meant to lead us into personal encounter, where we know him as Father and Friend, the one who loves our soul. Yeah. Dale, you mentioned a little while ago that Joan's memory is starting to fade a bit. And
et moi.
Yeah, and yours as well. But your physical body, we talked about sciatica, and you've got tremendous pain in your feet. You've got Parkinson's. And so in this latest season of your lives together, the two of you have faced significant physical challenges and limitations. And as Pastor Paul said earlier in the service, the goodness of God doesn't mean that everything's going to be bright and rosy all the time. Life can be really difficult. So how have the two of you experienced the faithfulness of God in this latest chapter of your lives?
I have to tell a little story that happened yesterday. Every once in a while, Joan falls. And Dale doesn't have his 25-year-old strength anymore to get her up. So I call a neighbor, or a couple times just be in the ambulance. But you know, you get to realize that you're both dependent on each other. Mm-hmm. And Joan often, very often, will say, "Where are you, Dale?" And you know, I appreciate it, because I'm knowing that she's trusting me to make decisions, do things that need to be done. And we just are a pair. And what you see is what you're going to get. I'll tell you that right now. None of us will make derogatory remarks about the other. I kid a lot. I've kidded a lot of you a lot. But so many things in which you recognize that God is guiding, so many things, and just makes our life go. How much longer? He knows. I don't. I don't really want to know. But we're still living at home, relying on God to help us take care of housekeeping, and I've even learned to cook my food, not for a guest meal, a survival meal for both of us. But it's interesting, and we're finding joy in life.
Yeah.
I mean, I hurt some of the time, and Joan's not as coherent some of the time, but there's joy knowing that God is at the center.
Yeah. So maybe last question for the two of you. And we actually spent a fair amount of time on Wednesday when we met talking about things that the two of you were thankful for. And so maybe as we wrap up, what are you most thankful for?
The Joan that I met at the Barclay Hotel in Alberni 54 years ago. It's... was God's, thank you.
Yeah.
It was God's plan. We recognize that so clearly now. How else would he put in my mind?
Yeah.
Joan.
Yeah.
Find her. your question.
Just what are you most thankful for? Is it about life and marriage and family and work?
All of the above.
Yeah.
All of the above. We've had to back off a lot of things, just don't have the energy to do them. I'm not a meeting or we're not at a meeting you've called, well, so be it. I guess the best answer is facing reality and fitting God, or let God guide in that reality.
That's great. 11 years ago, I became a part of this church, and the two of you were some of the first people I met. And my impression then, and it has remained all the way up to present, was that the two of you were faithful, loving, kind, wise, encouraging people. As a young pastor, I was in my early 30s, and I had lots of ideas, but I didn't know hardly anything. Because I hadn't tried things yet, I hadn't failed yet, and something that strikes me about the two of you is you always had a word of encouragement for me, and no doubt you saw many things that could have been corrected, lots of things I didn't know, but you didn't major in those things. You majored in blessing and encouraging, and as I've watched the two of you love one another, and your kids, and your grandkids, you have been a tremendous example for me and for our community. We love you deeply, and I'd love to pray for you before we're done.
Thank you for the kind words, Mark. They're very, very special to us.
Lord, for Dale and Joan, we thank you for their lives. You have watched over them and walked with them and guided them for their entire lives, and you continue to do so even up until today. Today, Lord, on their 54th wedding anniversary, we celebrate your goodness in bringing them together. What a wonderful idea. We pray, Lord, that they would know your grace and mercy and peace and joy. We pray, Father, that you would give them relief from the pain they're experiencing. And we pray next weekend, as they get to celebrate their granddaughter's wedding, that they would know great joy there too. Father, you've been faithful to them, and they in turn have been faithful for you. Continue to empower their faithfulness, their trust, and their hope. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Here, Joan. There you go, for sure. Here.
Okay. Let's see how this goes.
That'll be great.
The first landing. Advertisement for getting older.
You're doing great, Joan.
Helpers like you too, that's great.